This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today, on this last Sunday of the church year, we traditionally celebrate Christ the King Sunday. And it's a tradition that's worth keeping, especially this year, as we finish up our reading of Matthew's Gospel. Now, for those of you that did not grow up in the liturgical church, this whole idea of a church year and church seasons, each with its own color and each with its assigned readings from a revised common lectionary, that whole thing can be a little confusing. So just to make sure that we're all on the same page, here's the whole church year, seasons, colors, readings thing in a nutshell. First of all, the church year does not follow the calendar year. The church year begins with the season of Advent, which always is 4 weeks before Christmas. We start Advent next week. And instead of 4 seasons, like in the calendar year, in the church year we have 7 seasons. We have the season of Advent, and then Christmas, and then Epiphany, Lent, then there's Holy Week, Easter, and then the long season of Pentecost. Each season of the church year has its own specific color assigned to it, so that all the worship trappings, paraments and so forth, are in the color of the season. And each season, taken together, all the gospel readings tell the story of Jesus. Advent is all about waiting and watching for both the Christ child and for the return of the King. Of course, Christmas, we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, the baby Jesus. Epiphany is all about the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles. And we often associate that with the Magi that came to visit the baby Jesus. And then we have Lent. That's the season of preparation for Easter. It leads to Holy Week, where we experience the passion of Christ. And then there's Easter, that joyous celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. It's followed by Pentecost, the longest of the church seasons. And in it, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the formation of the church, and we examine the ministry of Jesus during his time on earth. And this whole story of Jesus comes at us in a 3-year cycle where we read about it from every gospel writer's point of view. Year A, which is what we just finished, we read Matthew the whole year. And year B is Mark. Luke is year C, and the Gospel of John is sprinkled through all of them. And the whole idea is that if you read the Gospel lessons that are pointed every Sunday for 3 years, you have read through the entire Gospel. The church year culminates in this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. And that's exactly where we are today. And for me, this message of Christ the King is best presented in Matthew's Gospel. Because it's in Matthew's Gospel from the very beginning that he spends so much time talking about the two kingdoms. The worldly kingdom and the kingdom of God that Jesus brought forth, and how those two kingdoms are in opposition. We see this right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, where the Magi come to visit the baby Jesus. And they go through Jerusalem, and they ask King Herod where they can find this king, king of the Jews. And we know how Herod reacts, don't we? He uses every worldly kingdom power available to him and slaughters all the male children, 2 years old and under, that live in and around Bethlehem. So the worldly kingdom and the kingdom of God that Jesus brings forth, they're in a life and death struggle from the very beginning. But here's the thing that amazes me. Matthew makes it absolutely clear that these two kingdoms that oppose each other are going to exist side by side, at least for a while. In Matthew 5, we read how God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous, side by side. In the parable of the wheat and the tares from Matthew chapter 13, we learn how it's impossible to separate the wheat from the tares here on earth. How that will not be accomplished until the final harvest. Final harvest. That's apocalyptic language for the end of days and final judgment, which is exactly what's going on in our gospel lesson today. And Matthew makes very clear this image of Christ as King that we celebrate. Our lesson opens with Jesus saying, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all of His angels with Him, He'll sit on His glorious throne. That's king image, of course. And He's doing His righteous king job. He's taken up that ultimate responsibility of separating those who are in the kingdom of God, who are part of the kingdom of God, from those who oppose it. And in this final scene, on this final Sunday of the church year, the totality of God's master plan comes into view. It's like you finally get to the final pages of that suspense novel, where you can see the whole story coming together, all the plots and subplots, all the characters that sort of come and go. And sometimes in these novels it appears like the outcome is in doubt, the way that it appeared in God's story for a time, when Christ was crucified, and it looked like the worldly kingdom had triumphed over the kingdom of God. But then God raised Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday, and that illusion was shattered. Death, that final ultimate weapon of the enemy, was destroyed. But what are we to do with this? Because even after the resurrection, these two kingdoms exist side by side. And we're going to be that way for a while. And it's going to be that way until Jesus returns. So what are we to do with that? You know, after Jesus' ascension, the Holy Spirit comes, the day of Pentecost comes, the church is formed, and it dawns on us that it's mainly through the church, empowered by the Spirit, that the kingdom of God is realized in these times, right now, between that time that Jesus ascended and the time that he's going to return. And what happens at the return of the king is what's described in our gospel lesson. We could think of it as an apocalyptic drama. Jesus claims his rightful position as the king. And he begins to separate the sheep from the goats. Those who are part of the kingdom from those who have opposed the kingdom. And I submit to you that if we read this passage carefully, it's full of surprises. And I would say it's full of surprises, especially to longtime Christians, and most especially, if you can believe it, to Lutherans. Jesus says to the sheep at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared to you from the foundation of the world." So far, so good. Jesus is saying, take your rightful place. Inherit the kingdom. Take the place that God has prepared for you before the foundation of the world. You are to be numbered among the people of God. And did you catch why they are numbered among the people of God? This realization kind of comes as a shock to Lutherans. If we read what's next in the text, it says, "Because I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me." Did you notice that in this passage, Jesus never mentions grace, faith, correct belief, or even forgiveness of sins? In this little apocalyptic drama, Jesus is very clearly saying that those who inherit the kingdom of God are those who are kind to one another, those who loved one another, those who looked after one another, especially the needy. We better stop right here and ask, does this mean that the kingdom of God is reserved for those who do good deeds, regardless of their belief? No, it does not. Because remember, Scripture interprets Scripture, and we know that our gospel lesson today is not the only place in Scripture where the kingdom of God is talked about. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 14. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." So, proper belief in Jesus as the Son of God and grace and faith are obviously part of our salvation. But sometimes I think as Lutherans, we sort of get focused on the grace thing, the proper belief thing. And we shouldn't just skip over those important acts of self-giving love that Jesus is talking about in our gospel lesson today. Those kinds of acts come as a response to the self-giving, sacrificial love that Jesus showed for us when he died on the cross and paid the price for our sins. They're the evidence that we've truly let Christ reign in our hearts right now. That the kingdom is alive and well right now. And that as the people of God, we're not content just to ride things out and to watch people suffer until the return of the king. The message of our gospel lesson today is that real followers of Jesus act towards those in need in ways that demonstrate this self-giving, sacrificial love that Jesus displayed. This is such an important theme all through Matthew's gospel. You know, if we've been paying attention, if we read Matthew's gospel carefully, this theme shows up over and over again. It's almost like a trail of breadcrumbs that leads to today's gospel lesson. Go all the way back, if you want, to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus ups the ante on so many Old Testament teachings, and the basis of this upping the ante is always self-giving, sacrificial love. It's no longer an eye for an eye. It's turn the other cheek. It's no longer love your neighbor and hate your enemy. It's love your enemy and pray for your enemy. It's go the extra mile and offer your cloak if someone takes your coat. And I would tell you that none of that is possible without self-giving, sacrificial love. Another little trail of breadcrumbs, if you will, from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "In everything, therefore, treat people the way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets." Self-giving love. The great commandment that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 22, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you fail to catch those trails of breadcrumbs, just look at the life of Jesus. He says about himself in Matthew chapter 20, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." These trails of breadcrumbs lead us at last to our gospel lesson today, where Jesus upholds the importance of these self-giving acts of love. You know, Christ expects his church in these days to be outposts of the kingdom of heaven, where this kind of love is acted out, where it's the rule, the norm, not the exception to the rule. I have to tell you, I love the way our congregational mission fits into this. Our sign out front says, "All are welcome." We work hard here to welcome the stranger. And it also says our God job is to proclaim God's word and to reach out to those in need. And we do that in so many ways. We're assembling homeless lunches today after church, for example. We're on the right track. So on this Christ the King Sunday, we can look forward with anticipation to the return of the King. And we should. But let's do it humbly, asking Christ to rule in our hearts right now so that we might feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, and reach out to all those in need. Thanks be to God.